give a warm welcome. Put your hands together, hoot and holler, for our founder, our president, Mrs. Kim Martin. Cry, but wait, get her a license plate holder too, because I think everybody agree that she should probably get one too. Yeah, all right.
Awesome. And don't leave, Kirk.
Okay.
Because, well, this is for you, so let me go ahead and give it to you. So early on with I've Decided, and a lot of you have been around since the beginning, when I first started this organization at our very first conference, like, I am a big dreamer, okay? So I expected that we were going to have 1,000 people show up at the conference, at the Civic Center for our first conference. Like, I really did. Like, I was like, this place is going to be full. It's going to be awesome. And we were excited, and I had no idea what I was doing. And thank God only about 170 people showed up, because if 1,000 would have showed up, I wouldn't have known what to do with them. We had no idea at that point. It was our very first year to schedule a conference, but that was just what was in my heart. And it was a few weeks later that I was just having this conversation with God, and because I feel like he told me to do this. And I was having that moment, maybe some of you have experienced this, where you've said, but you, I'm doing what you want me to do. Why was there only 160 people there, or 70, or whatever it was? It wasn't the number that I wanted it to be, right? Because I had this big idea. And right there in that bathroom, in my bathroom upstairs in my house, I heard the Lord speak to my heart. And he said, if it was only one person, would you do it for them? And I cried, like I'm about to right now. I cried and I said, yeah, I would, because it matters. We all matter. We all have goals. We all have dreams. We all have things that we need to accomplish. And if it only impacted one person, I would do it. And when I met Kurt, and I've told him this before, when I walk into the garden and I see him sitting there, it makes everything worth it. Whether if it was just for him, I am so glad that we started this organization. But luckily, it's all for you too. It's not just for Kurt.
It's not?
It's not just for me and Kurt. Yay! Although we could have a lot of fun, just he and I. He's awesome. But it is for people like Kurt and all of you, people who have goals, people who have dreams. Kurt is a perfect example of someone who stepped out, who went through. We're going to talk about, I must be clicking here. Sorry, don't want to get ahead. We're going to talk about tapping into more, and I'll just tell you that Kurt and a lot of others that I'll be mentioning as well as we move forward is a perfect example of what I mean when I talk to you today about tapping into more, okay? Thanks, Kurt. I appreciate it. You're the best right-hand man a person could ever have. Awesome. Well, I'm sure you're not here to see me cry like a baby, so I'll try to pull it together really quick, but welcome. I'm so excited you guys are here. We have an amazing day planned for you. We have some awesome speakers that we're going to learn from, be motivated, be inspired. There are some amazing success stories already in the group today. So make sure you're networking and getting to know your neighbor and talking to others that are here and ask them, why? Why are you here? What have you accomplished? What are you looking to accomplish? So that you can get to know those people who are maybe trying to achieve the same goal that you are, who want to accomplish the same thing that you'd like to accomplish, so that you can get to know them and you can partner together and collaborate and build each other up, because that's what it's all about, right? And so how many of you believe that there is more? So when Kurt talked about that little fire, that spirit deep inside that's telling you every day, there's more. You have something you should be doing. We all kind of know what he's talking about, right? We can all know that we've had that experience where there's more. And I'm here to tell you right now, it doesn't matter where you are in your life, who you are, how old you are, whether you're retired, whether you're just out of college, wherever you are, children, all the way up to 100 years old, however you are, if you are breathing, you have something more to do. You have more. There's always more. In fact, statistics and research show that we can all do, every human being can do 40% more than we are doing today. I think, where's Heather? Heather always does that. You do the little thing with the arm, right, Heather? At our I've Decided to Ride clinic. She's our ride coach, and one of the things that she does at the clinic is she has you move your arm back as far as you can, stretch it, like really as far as you can, and then you release it, and then you do it again. And this time you push it even further. And every time I've ever seen Heather do that with a group of people, everybody the second time can go about 30 or 40% farther than they did the first time. And that's just one example. All of us have more in us, and we need to tap into more. We need to tap into more. We need to do what we are supposed to do here on this earth. So how do we start tapping into more? Well, you got to dream big. You got to dream big. And guess what? You may be disappointed. I was a little disappointed that we didn't have 1,000 people show up for our very first conference. But I'm still 6 years later believing it. I'm believing it, and I'm going to keep believing it until we have 1,000 people at a conference. And we're going to have it. If it takes 10 years or 15 years or next year. But you have to not be afraid to dream big because you might not accomplish it. You need to sometimes dream so big that you already know you're not going to accomplish it. But then as long as you get somewhere close to it, you're good. So some of you know what this is. Who knows what that is? The purple jet. That's my purple jet. And if you've been around long enough, you've heard me talk about you got a seat on the purple jet. How many of you have a seat on the purple jet? Oh, Lord, we need a big jet. That's what I tell. So anytime you're a part of I've Decided and you're fulfilling your goal and dream and you're stepping out, I always say you got a seat on the purple jet. When we have our purple jet, you're going with us. And I'm telling you, we're going to, and my kids are like, Mom, stop talking about the jet. I'm like, you laugh now, but you're going to want to ride on my jet one day. And so when I have the jet, you're all here as my witness, right? You can all be there going, she got the jet. She got the jet. I said, Lord, I don't know. I'm going to have to probably live to be 100. But that's okay. I do try to take care of myself. So you got to dream big. What's your purple jet? What is your purple jet? Are you dreaming that big? Or when it pops in your mind, do you go, that might not, that's too big. I may not be able to accomplish that. I don't know if I can keep up with that. What happens if I tell everybody I want a purple jet and then I never get a purple jet? What's the worst thing that could happen? I worked really hard, made a whole lot of impact, I hope, and I lived a wonderful life. We're going to talk about it. And I might get the purple jet one day, and I might not, but I'm going to work hard like I'm going to get it, right? So what's your purple jet? You need to know what that big dream is and not be afraid to go get it and not be afraid of failure. So you guys know I love doing acrostics, right? This one didn't come to me last night, though, or this morning at 2 o'clock in the morning. I've been preparing for this one. I've been preparing for this one. So we're going to tap into more. T-A-P. And the T is we're going to train your brain. Okay? I got to put this down because I might start talking with my hands, and next thing we know, we'll be on the last slide. I keep thinking this microphone's going to fall. We're going to train your brain. So some of you in the room might be counselors or in psychology, and you know this, so I'm speaking your language. Brittany, where are you? I know she's a psych. She's got like a master's in psychology, so she's going to love all this stuff. But you have to train your brain, okay? We give our brain too much credit. Your brain is not your soul. Your brain is not your spirit. Your brain is not your soul. Your brain is an organ that God gave us to keep our bodies functioning and alive. So your brain has a role to keep you breathing, to keep you alive, to trigger all the hormones that tell you when you're hungry. They tell you when you're hungry when you're really not hungry. To trigger the hormones when it's time to sleep, right? All of the things that your body needs to function. There's voluntary and involuntary, but that's what your brain does. Your brain's role is also to keep you comfortable. Now let's think about that for a second. Your brain's job is to keep you comfortable. So wouldn't you agree then that your brain is going to work against you when you're trying to do something that you've never done before? Maybe something outside of your comfort zone. Your brain is going to be saying, no, 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 don't do that. You might hurt yourself. You might embarrass yourself. Nobody may show up. Don't do that. So your brain can actually work against your goals and dreams. This you have to understand. Your brain, this is a little computer chip that I found online. That's what a computer chip looks like. But that's really the same as your brain. Your brain has been programmed from the time you left the hospital with information. And some of it is good information, and some of it is not good information. It's just like a computer. Garbage in, garbage out. Good information in, good information out. Your brain is the same. Now, when we're kids, when we're babies especially, we don't really have much control over what's going into our brain, do we? That's all coming from all the people that are around us. It's coming from our mom, our dad, our grandparents, our siblings. Everyone who has an influence on our life is pouring in data. We don't have a lot to do with it. So we have information that's been poured into our brain that we didn't have anything to do with. You see where I'm going with that? Some of it is good information, and some of it may not be so good. So it's left up to us then as we start to grow and mature and learn, which is why we should constantly be learning always. It's left up to us then to start retraining our brain the truth and getting rid of some of the junk that's been put in. But as we start to get older, some of that big junk starts to come from our own self-talk. So when it comes to training your brain, you need new information. You can always learn. You have to put correct information. How many times have you had a moment when you're like, wow, I have been thinking that my whole life. What the heck? That's not even true. Right? There's a lot of that stuff going on in your brain. There's a whole lot. In fact, I read an article and some research that says, it was a study on 100 people, so we won't give it that much credit, but it was really interesting. It said, even when a person believes they're 100% right, they're still wrong half the time. Now, think on that for a second. And when I read that, I thought, wow. That means that we need to be open to learn and hear what other people have to say and be willing to change our mind if we need to. Because you have to say, you know what, Kim? You may not know everything, and what you think you know may or may not be 100% accurate. So we have to put new information in. And that new information has to start with our self-talk. I was just in a coaching appointment yesterday afternoon, sitting with someone who has been an athlete, who's been fit, and that's what they're used to being, and then they had to have surgery, and guess what? In the last year, they've been injured. So they don't feel like an athlete anymore. They feel overweight. They feel like they've kind of just been lazy and not doing anything because they couldn't. But that's how she felt. And so she said, I've always been this athlete and now I'm not. Now there lies a little problem, right? Because now you're telling your brain you're not an athlete. Now, your brain has information that's been programmed through education. We know what an athlete is, don't we? When I use the term athlete, all of you think athlete, right? Like buff, firm, right? You get that image in your mind. Your brain does that because your brain understands what an athlete is. So you tell your brain you're not an athlete, then your brain starts to say, you're not an athlete. And so now it's going to start behaving like someone who's not an athlete. So you have to be very careful of how you term your words. You walk in what you're going to accomplish. I'm healthy. I'm active. I'm happy. I'm whole. I'm joyful. Make sense? There's this little word called ruminating. Some of you have heard me talk about it before. Have you seen those friendship benches? Some of the schools have the friendship benches. Those were started somewhere, I'm not 100% sure, like in Zimbabwe or something, where there's a lot of depression because there's a lot of sickness and people dying of disease and starvation, and there's a lot of depression. And there was a psychologist there that was trying to improve and help these people, but obviously, I believe it was a she. Obviously, she couldn't do it all on her own, so she started recruiting what she calls grandmas, these older women there, to go and sit on these friendship benches and talk to these people who are depressed. But what was most interesting, I thought, about the article was that in Zimbabwe, the word depression that they used in their language, the definition of that was think too much. Now, that's ruminating. So we start thinking too much on things that we shouldn't be thinking on. Maybe things that have happened in the past, things that have hurt us. We sit and we ruminate on that. That word rumination comes from cows. That's where they get it from, because they chew on their cud. That's where that word comes from. But we can do it too in our brain, and we just start going out of control. We have to train our brain with self-talk. I use the word reject and replace. A lot of you have heard me say that. When something pops in your head that you know is not true, like, you're so fat, you can't do that. They're going to laugh at you. You're not smart enough. You're not savvy enough. You have a very thick southern accent. Nobody's going to be able to understand what you're saying. Whatever it is that pops in your mind, you have to reject that out loud. That is a lie. That is not the truth. I am beautiful. I am happy. I am fit. I am capable. I can do anything God has called me to do. I have everything I need to accomplish what God has put me on this earth to do. And so do you. And that's the truth. So you can plug that one into your computer chip. Okay? Neuroplasticity, We won't spend a lot of time here, but just to kind of tie it into what we're talking about, some of you have heard this word. It's a big word right now. Everybody's talking about it because it's a cool word. And everybody's talking about it because it changes things. It takes away our excuses. Neuroplasticity is your brain's ability to rewire itself. So a person who's born left-handed, let's say, and all their life, they do everything left-handed. They can't do anything with their right hand because they're left-handed. And some of you might be left-handed and know, and some of you might be right-handed like me, and you can't do anything with your left hand. A few things, but not many. Brushing my teeth is very difficult with my left hand. Eating is very difficult with my left hand. I cannot imagine doing my hair with my left hand. It would not be pretty. I'm right-handed, okay? But what happens if I were to be in a tragic accident and something were to happen to my left arm, or I had a stroke and something were to happen to my left arm? Through therapy, through a lot of practice, constantly working and working and working, guess what could happen? I can become right-handed. We see it happening every day because of where we are today in technology. We see it happening every day. People have strokes. They're no longer able to use their left arm. They learn how to do everything with their right hand. That is your brain's ability to retrain itself. Now, if you can do that, you can change things. The problem with behavior change and retraining your brain is that most people don't want to change unless there's physical, emotional, or financial pain. We wait till we hit rock bottom, right? So unless we're feeling some kind of physical pain, it's very difficult for us to want to lose weight or work out. Or unless we're financially broke, about to lose our home or get evicted, now we want to do something about it. Just like a person who got sick or had a wreck. Now they have no choice, so they have to and they can. But if they can do it under those situations, that means you can do it too, and you don't have to be in such distress in order to make the change happen. You just have to have all the pieces, the understanding, all the support, all the accountability, everything that you need to make the changes happen. That's what neuroplasticity teaches us. It's a really good word, and it really does take away our excuses. You can change. Plug that one in your data bank. That's the truth. You can change. We are in the changing business. That's what we do. We can all change. We can all do what we need to do to accomplish what we were put here to accomplish. But it's hard. It's hard work, but together we can do it. And then finally, to train your brain, Michelle, I love you because you've been like speaking my language all over social media this week, but I've been holding it for a surprise. You got to love yourself. You can't do anything good for yourself if you don't love yourself. You can't hate yourself skinny. You can't hate yourself successful. You see where I'm going. You can't hate yourself healthy. You can't stand in front of a mirror going, this is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. Lord, it's awful. I don't want anybody to see me. You will never get to where you want to be. You have to love yourself enough to take care of yourself. You have to love yourself enough to see that you're worthy of success. You have to love yourself enough to do anything that you want to do. It all starts with you loving yourself. And guess what? It's not selfish. It is absolutely 100% not selfish to love yourself. In fact, it's the least most selfish thing you can do. Because if you love yourself first, you're going to take care of you. And when you take care of you, guess what you're going to be able to do? you're going to be able to take care of everybody else that God brings into your life that you need to take care of because you got the energy to do it. You want to do it. You feel like doing it because you've given yourself oxygen first. That's the way it works. To give love, you got to be loved. It starts from the Father to us. We are loved. And when we know then that we are loved and who we are in Him, then we know we can love ourselves. And anything else anybody's ever told us is what? Garbage. It's a lie. Okay? You are loved. You can do anything if you love yourself. You've got to love yourself. And you can do it. To tap into more takes action. You have to take action. You have to invest in yourself. Now, I'm preaching to the choir. You're all here. You're investing in yourself today by being here. But you have to invest in yourself. I'll give you another example just from my personal experience with starting this company, with I've Decided. We use all of our personal money to do this. We've never taken out a loan. We just use our money and pour it into this company. And that can start feeling kind of taxing on your financials. You know, you're like, I'm not putting into my 401k. I probably should be putting, I mean, Joe's 52 and I'm 47. We probably should put more money in our 401k and not use this money. And again, as I do, I was in prayer with the Lord going, what do you want me to do? Because I feel like we're not spending our money wisely, and I know that's not what you want me to do. What do you want me to do? And He opened my eyes to see that investing in this company was even better than any 401k I could ever invest my money in. I heard Him speak to my heart and say, you're invested in my company. I can pay you back a return that nobody can pay you back. Preach. Right? He said that. And I've never looked back. I'm not saying I'm perfect. Sometimes when I start writing the checks and the balance starts getting really low, I'm like, oh, Lord, where are you? Where are you? But He always shows up. And so we keep on. And I invest in ourselves. We invest in all of us. There is no greater return. Where's Gwen Alexander? Hey, Gwen. So Gwen is a perfect example, like Kurt that I was explaining with him. She's a perfect example of tapping into more. She invested in herself. She got involved in I've Decided. She did the Master Your Message. She's speaking today. Yay. But I'm not her first speaking gig. She's had other speaking gigs since she did that. Gwen, did you get a return on your investment? Yes. When you invest in yourself, there's no greater return. It makes me so sad when I talk to people and they're like, oh, I can't do that. Oh, I can't do that because I don't have enough money. I have to wait till I have more money. But then I drive through Starbucks and the line's all wrapped around the... And it cost you $5 to buy a Starbucks coffee. And I bet if you just save that money, sorry, Starbucks, I bet if you just save that money, you might be able to invest in something that would be so much better for you. I just heard this week, and it's so true. We do things that we want to do. We find the time for the things that we want. But sometimes we don't really want what we need, so we make ourselves busy. We make ourselves unavailable. We just accidentally don't show up. Because we really don't want what it is that we really need to do. Because it's hard. So we have cop-outs. But you have to invest in yourself. You need to be productive. Be productive, right, Karen? Yes, you need to be productive. One of the ways, I have to bring up Karen under this, one of the ways that you can invest in yourself is as a member of I've Decided, we have these amazing monthly success groups. I've decided to lose weight. I've decided to better my finances. I've decided to master my message. I've decided to be more productive. Karen Shorey, a business leadership coach, is leading that program. Vicky Street Matter, a certified Dave Ramsey coach, leading the Get Out of Debt program. Master Your Message, led by Cindy Bird, a communications major. You guys all know her. She's awesome. She is unable to be here today. Pray for her husband. He's home doing well, but she had to be with him. But she's got a lot of people in the room. Shout out for Cindy Bird. But we have expert coaches who are leading these success groups. And guess what? They're included in your membership. There's no extra charge for them. All you have to invest is your time. You just have to show up. So many things can come out of that. But back to being productive. Be wise with your time. You have a calendar. If you don't, as a member, you've got your success planner and journal. We have our phones. You have to have a schedule. If you're flying by the seat of your pants, you will never tap into more. Yes, preach. Karen said, preach. Speaking her language. You will never tap into more because you're flying by the seat of your pants. You know what? When I say to someone, hey, am I going to see you there? And they go, oh, I'm going to try. I'm like, they are not going to be there. How come you just can't say yes or no? Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And how do you randomly at the last minute say, oh, I got called away? To what? Didn't you have this in your calendar? Could you not say, oh, I'm sorry, I already have plans that day? No, because this seems better. But let me tell you, when you do that, you will never tap into more success. Because to do this is selfish. To do this says, this is more important to me. And I don't care that these other people are counting on me to be there. So when you act out of that selfish behavior, you will never tap into more. You can put that one in the bank. So you need to show up. Start where you are. Just start where you are. You don't have to wait. You start right here, right now, today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till an hour from now. You start right here. Start where you are. You have everything you need to start right now, right here, today. You have to take action. This is probably a great opportunity to talk about Troy. Troy, I see you. I see Troy. So Troy is a really great idea of somebody who stuck the stake in the ground and took action on his dream. About a year ago, he walked into the garden. And he walked in and he said, I'm looking for somebody named Kim Martin. He said that to me. And we sat in my office and he said this. I couldn't believe it. It was a light bulb moment for myself. I'm like, wow, sometimes it takes people a really long time. And he said, I've been following you for 5 years. I've been watching. And he goes, I've stuck the stake in the ground. I'm here. He goes, I'm going to change lives. I want to help people. I want to do this. He wasn't sure what it was going to look like. Am I right? He wasn't sure what it was going to look like or how he was going to do it. He just started where he knew where to start. He knew there was this place that was doing something had to help people, and that's where he showed up. And he showed up, and he started. And since that day, he's been showing up, and he's been committed. And he shows up to my office, like, you got a minute? I'm like, yes, we can find a minute. And he comes in, and it usually takes about an hour. Because he's like we have the same word. epic for 2020, and we didn't even talk about it. Isn't that funny? So it's kind of like that. He's kind of like that male version of me. So it makes perfect sense that we started talking about what it would look like to have certified success coaches. I've decided certified success coaches. And he said, would you teach me your program so that I can incorporate it into my coaching business and we can help more people achieve their goals and dreams? And I said, yes. And so together, we created this program with a lot of advice from Kurt and some input. So we created this program where we now have our very first, I've decided, certified success coach, Troy Alexander.
No, it's just been, it was a pleasure. This, we talked a little bit about this in the fall last year, through the year, and just like Kim said, when I showed up last January, you know, walking into that door the very first day, I said, Lord, help us empower every life that's inside this building. And in the fall, we start talking a little bit about this. And, you know, it's all of us, every single one of us, has been given inspired ideas and dreams. Everyone in here, we all have it. Where do those come from? I've come to understand those as it's God's voice. Whispering into our hearts, whispering into our minds, giving us the vision like Kim's been blessed with and so many of you inside of here. We start that pathway and guess what happens? This other voice starts to show up in our mind, doesn't it? The one that talks to you all day long. The one that, you know, and it would, people go, what voice are you talking about? We all got the same thing going on. But it's that voice of self-doubt. It's that voice of self-sabotage. It comes in and it starts picking away at us in many ways. And what Kim's put together, and like I said when I showed up last year, you know, I had been watching her for 5 years. Because it had been 5 years since I had done any type of business, chamber of commerce, before, after hours. For 5 years, I didn't do any of it. So I was very particular and selective when I decided I want to be a part of something. I had to make sure that the person that I was going to, you know, follow and allow to be a teacher in a way. So we talked about the coaching, and I shared this yesterday when we were out at the garden. Over the last couple of days, I actually started to pray for those people that are going to engage in this because I know what's going to happen. It's a puzzle. We all got a puzzle. Thank God there's not very many pieces. There's a lot less pieces than we think. But for 25 years, I've been coaching. I don't just like it. I love it. So thank you so much, sister, and just so excited. Could everyone please stand up and just give Kim a big, massive please right now. Look what she's done for so many people.
Love you.
I love you, Sam. We're going to get our exercise today. Sit down. We're going to do some exercise in just a minute. Some of you in the room are anyway. Don't worry. You know who you are. Everybody's like, what's she going to make me do? Start where you are. You will be amazed. Just start. Stick the stake in the ground. Shift from being lukewarm. Don't be lukewarm. Decide what you want to do and start. When you tap into more, you got to persevere. Okay? The P is persevere. Because it might not happen as fast as you think it should. You need to think like the tortoise. You need to be the tortoise. Slow and steady. Slow and steady wins the race. You don't have to go all in, go crazy. Based on my experience, when we do that, we lose the excitement after about a week or two. And then we're done. So I started this challenge this year. If you work out with me at Curve, some of you do in the room, you know that when all the ladies start doing the challenges with their planks and their push-ups, I'm like, nope, everybody knows. Kim does not do the challenges. I have a weak shoulder, and every time I try to hold a plank, I'm in so much pain the next day that I'm just like, I'm never doing that again. So I just don't do them. But then this year I thought, you know what? I could do one push-up, right? I could do one. The problem is I drop down on the floor and try to do five, like everybody else might be doing. And then the next day, I can't raise my arm, and I'm in pain because I get acute bicep tendonitis. So I thought, well, I'm going to do my very own little challenge, and I'm going to do a push-up challenge, and I'm going to start in 2020, and I'm going to do one push-up every day for the first week, and then I'm going to add a push-up in the second week, and then add a push-up in the third and fourth. Well, I said something at Curve. Some of the Curve ladies were like, oh, we'll do that with you. So I started this little Facebook group, and I added them to it, and they added their friends, and then more people got in, and now we have like 99 people in the group doing this push-up challenge. Where are you? If you're here and you're willing to do your push-ups today, some of you know you're supposed to wait and do them today. Stand up. Go ahead. Find some space. Look at all these people that are doing the push-up challenge. I know. And we started with one, and now we can do five. Five. Are we ready? Let's go. She's here. There's Adrian's here somewhere. I have one lady in her. I said, what's your name? She says, Adrian. I'm like, say it. And she's like, Adrian. I'm like, oh, like Adrian. She's like, yes, that's exactly right. Sorry, wherever. Adrian. So this lady right here, her name's Michelle. Hey, Michelle.
What's up?
Yes. So when she started hearing me talk about this, what did you say?
I can't do no male push-ups.
We call them military push-ups.
I didn't listen to the video. First of all, you gotta learn to listen. I didn't listen to the video, all I saw was 52. So I get down on the floor and I do like 52 girl push-ups. So I'm hurting like all week, and then eventually I had to listen to the video. And I'm like, oh, that's one push-up a week. Not 52 in one day. So once I started listening and following, I do what she tells us to do, one push-up for the week, and I never would do the military push-ups. But I got it now, as you can see.
And when I started on January 1st, I could barely push one push-up. And when I had tried in Curves the week before, I couldn't even do, I'm like, it took me like four tries to even get one push-up. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't even do one. I could do five. And so we're going to add every week. And for some of us, we get, you know, what I tell everybody is if you're getting too far ahead and it seems too hard, then just do four for an extra week and then go to five. Because, hey, what's the worst thing that can happen? You get to the end of the year and you can only do 40 push-ups instead of 52. So we're going to be the tortoise. We're not going all out. We're going to just one at a time, and we're going to do it every day. So today was day 32 days in a row I've done these push-ups. and twice I had to get out of bed and do them. But we're holding each other, but that group, we're holding each other accountable, right? All the motivation and support. So you got to be the tortoise. You got to be patient. It's not going to happen overnight. I'm going to turn 50 in a couple of years. And my goal is I'm going to be able to do 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, and run a half marathon, which the running part I already do, as you know. So that'll be the easier part for me. But the sit-ups and the push-ups. And I'm going to do it gradual over the next 2 years. Very gradual. I'm not going to just go down and do 100 push-ups or sit-ups. I'm not even going to start those until 2021. I'm gonna get my push-ups done first. So that's how we do it. All right. There's this little gray area of being grateful but seeking, right? So we have to learn how to be content with where we are. If this is what we have, if this is where we're going to go, if this is God's plan, then we're going to be okay with that. Because I'm not in control, right? So I have to just be grateful and thankful of what we do have and be content, but keep seeking. Seeking and pushing and dreaming. That's my job. But it's not my job to grumble and be like, where's the 1,000 people you said were coming? Right? I am so ecstatic today. There's as many people here as could be. We couldn't squeeze another person in here. We'd be over tight, right? So if you're here, it's because you were meant to be here. It's by divine appointment you're here. Those that are meant to be here are here. Those that couldn't be here are not here, and it's okay. We have to be content with where we are, but continue to strive to be better and keep growing and learn what we need. Does that make sense? So when we're being content, we're not just sitting complacently. There's a difference. Well, I'm just happy where I am. Everything's just fine. I don't need to change anything. That's a little different than saying, thank you, God, for the blessings we have today, but I'm going to keep pressing on for more because I know there's more, right? Is there more? There's always more. And I'm going to end on this before we head out. You guys will have a little bit of time to get kind of situated for your power sessions. Without you, they cannot be you. You never, ever need to worry about what somebody else is doing. All you need to worry about is what your job is. What's your purpose? What has God told you to do? You never have to say, oh, I can't do it that good. They're better than I am. I don't have the resources they have. Ugh. I think one of the biggest things that causes us to not persevere and tap into more is that we're overly concerned with what other people think about us and what other people are doing. You have a job to do. You have something to accomplish that nobody else can do but you. You are the only person that can do it. Did you know that, like snowflakes, every human being, every snowflake is perfect? Every snowflake is perfect, but every one is unique. Not one of them is exactly like another snowflake. The same is true for us as human beings. Every single one of us, however many billions of us there are all perfect. Perfectly created and designed to do something. We're all perfect, but we're all different. So don't worry about what everybody else is doing. You do what you need to do. Without you, they can't be you. You never, ever have to worry. So if there's something that you're dreaming about in your heart, and you're thinking, I don't want to do that because somebody else is already doing it, and I might not be able to, you know, Don't worry. Do it anyway. Go for it anyway. So it's your challenge today. Stick the stake in the ground. Decide on something. Make a decision. Something that you want to accomplish. Whether it's running your first 5K, doing a 25 or 30 mile ride, coming to one of the monthly success groups, getting out of debt. What else do you want to do? Finish school. Write a book. Woo! How many of you want to write a book? Raise your hand high so Speak It to Book can see you. We have Speak It to Book here, Giovanni. He's going to give a presentation right after our first power session, right before lunch. I'm so excited to learn about them. The resources you need to accomplish your goals and dreams are right here in this room. Everything you need is right here. You don't have to go out anywhere else. We do that, don't we? We're like, it can't be right here. It's got to be way out there somewhere. No, it's right here. It's right here in this room, everything you need. You just need to tap into it, okay? So you promise today you're going to stake in the ground on something you want to accomplish and make the decision that you're going to start where you are today and start moving towards success. All right?
Woo! It's a beautiful